Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with me now is NPR's Margot Adler. Maybe you heard her on All Things Considered yesterday, reporting on Mayor Bloomberg's restaurant trans fat ban. But she is here today in a very different capacity as one of America's foremost authorities on neo-paganism, or nature religions. Margot's 1979 book, Drawing Down the Moon, Witches, Druids, Goddess Worshippers, and Other Pagans in America Today, was originally published on Halloween 1979. A revised paperback edition was published in the 80s, and now there is a newly revised edition of Drawing Down the Moon, published in paperback by Penguin. A great excuse to have Margot Adler here to the studio and on Halloween to boot in a bright orange scarf. Hi, Margot.
Hi. It's really wonderful to be here with you, Brian.
Not just bright orange, but with what on
with, it? It's got all the Halloween stuff,
the
spiders and pumpkins and skeletons and all those things.
So let's do some history and vocabulary words first, because this, even though this book has been out a long time, this is going to be new to a lot of people. Historically, who were the original pagans?
Well, actually, all of our ancestors, if you go far enough back, probably all of us had pagan ancestors. And by that, I mean, pagan actually is a word that means of the country, but it's also the religions, the old indigenous religions that basically didn't have books, didn't have literal scriptures, basically celebrated seasonal celebrations. So, you know, before Christianity was dominant, you know, all in indigenous religions are pagan. So if you think about Americans, Africans came to this country. They lost their traditions through slavery. But if you go way back, their religions were pagan. Basically, Native Americans, those are basically polytheistic religions, many gods. They still are pagans unless they converted to Christianity.
So polytheism, what else?
Polytheism, basically, these are religions that are based on doing as opposed to believing. In other words, what can I do to help the crops grow? What can I do to have this coming of age ceremony for my son or daughter? What can I do to, you know, they're basically not prophetic religions. They're based, again, on seasonal celebrations, and on the European ones are based on sort of the old wheel of the year, the solstices, the equinoxes, and four other holidays, including today.
Your book is about neo-pagans. What does that mean?
Well, that's sort of the revival of, you know, I said we all came from paganism way back, but the fact is all those traditions were mostly lost. And there are a lot of people who are looking to figure out in a modern form, can we have a nature religion, but still, you know, get up in the morning and go to work as a doctor or a computer programmer? You know, in other words, how can we revive these religions in modern forms?
But you've talked about have been incorporated into Judaism and Christianity and the other world's major religions, right? So
some
you have
of
the life cycle. You have the birth rituals, the death rituals, bar mitzvah or confirmation, or pick what you will.
But I think many people in our culture basically are part of what we might call white bread religions. In other words, they go to church on Sunday, they hear someone, you know, read a little something. They don't have ecstatic traditions. As a matter of fact, in our culture, the people who have ecstatic traditions are people that we often feel queasy around, like the holy rollers or people who are speaking in tongues. So the question is, what can we take back that's vibrant and exciting? And some of these old pagan traditions have a lot of that stuff.
And you have been out as, what's the right word? Is it a witch?
Well, you know, a witch is a hard word. It's a really hard word because it has negative associations in almost every culture, except for women who've sort of adopted this and said, witch is a powerful woman, let's reclaim this word. So I got involved in Northern European paganism, which is often called Wicca, certain traditions. And in Wicca, the priests and priestesses of Wicca are called witches. Whether it's an appropriate term, we could have a 3-hour discussion, which we're not going to have right now. But the fact is that which can mean, instead of what we normally think of, which is, you know, psychic power, power definition, can mean basically someone who is a member of the revival of this sort of ancient European nature religion.
Mm-hmm. And so is there a particular religion that you're involved with?
Well, I started out in Wicca, which was basically a very Celtic-based religion, but that was by chance. That was what happened to be in the neighborhood when I was looking for an ecological, nature-based religion. You know, my heart was really into the Greek gods when I was growing up because I loved those myths and stuff like that. Right now, I'm much more of an eclectic pagan, which is that I basically love ritual. I love to do the kinds of things that tie human beings into nature.
Margot Adler, my guest on WNYC. Yes, that Margot Adler, NPR's Margot Adler,
yes,
also the
secret
author,
life of Margot Adler.
Author of Drawing Down the Moon, Witches, Druids, Goddess Worshippers, and Other Pagans in America Today, originally published on Halloween 1979, now out in a newly revised paperback. That's pretty good, by the way. Most people don't get their books remaining in print for so many years.
Well, you know, it's funny. I have this other book, which is a 60s memoir, and you know, it sells a few copies a year. It's different when you have an entire movement behind a book and a movement that's growing and growing hugely. And so that's why the book stayed in print.
Are there certain common conceptions of God in neo-pagan religions?
Well, I think there's a yes. I think it's certainly in a lot of the revivalist religions. Not completely, but certainly the idea that God or gods are all around us and that human beings are not necessarily higher than other creatures, that everything in nature is sacred, that is, the stuff of the ground is sacred, that the sacred resides in the here and now as well as perhaps in anything other, that human beings are sort of a part of nature and not necessarily the people who are sort of above all the rest. There's definitely, then you get into different traditions and then that changes.
We can take some phone calls from Margot Adler. Are you a neo-pagan? Did you always want to ask somebody a question about neo-paganism but not have anyone to ask? Now you do. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org.
And we can also say a couple of words about Halloween, since that's what today is, because, in fact, you know, one interesting word we can look at is superstition. What it really means remains. And when you think about all the things we think about in Halloween, the skeletons, the ghosts, all that stuff, they are the remains of older beliefs because in Celtic lands, this was the Celtic New Year. It was a belief that it was a day that was different than other days, that it was sort of between the worlds. And because it was between the worlds were thinner, the walls were thinner of the worlds, and you could contact the dead, sort of like the Day of the Dead in Mexico. And so it was a sacred holiday, and what's come down to us, all the stuff I'm wearing, you know, are sort of the superstitions about it.
You mentioned polytheism before as one of the first things you brought up about neo-paganism. That means religion with
many
multiple
gods.
The number one thing about Judaism, Christianity,
is anti-polytheism.
Yeah,
right.
The Abrahamic religions is that they are monotheistic. It's the first commandment.
And it's very interesting because here's a quote to struggle with. James Breasted, Egyptologist, very famous, lived more than 100 years ago. He said, monotheism is but imperialism in religion.
Mm.
And if you think about that, the reason I got attracted to polytheism and to paganism was it basically said there's no one true right and only way. Religions aren't universal. You don't have to proselytize. Therefore, you don't have to have religious wars. Basically, the religions in the indigenous world were located in place, that is, in the rivers, the sacred streams. And when you went to another place, even the Romans adopted all the gods. So it's a very different notion of religion. And I think in our world that's so characterized by religious wars, it's a very optimistic way of looking.
So you think it's less a theological thing or a social organization thing, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before you, as a power and control thing?
I think that in one case, I think who won the wars of history determined history. That's part of it. That's why there are all these things about idolatry. But the real idolatry in our culture is not whether you believe in many gods. It's money. It's consumerism. It's all that other stuff. And if you talk to very wise people within Judaism and Christianity, they'll say the same thing.
John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Margot Adler. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to ask if you guys I wanted to ask Margaret. I'm a Christian. I believe in the kind of the supernatural aspects of Christianity, and that I believe in God. I believe that Jesus was resurrected, things like that. I wanted to know if she was into paganism more for the ritual and stuff like that, or if she actually believed in the supernatural aspects of it, that there that there actually are multiple gods and the kind of nature worship and other kinds of things.
Good question.
It's a very good question, and I should say that my answer is not necessarily typical of all pagans, but I come from a kind of Jewish, atheist, Marxist, background, and so my answer is going to be very different. I tend to take things very metaphorically. I don't tend to believe in a supernatural. I tend to believe that there's a superpower of the natural, which means that I do think there are things that science can't explain, that maybe there is telepathy, maybe there is, but I don't really have a big supernatural aspect of my belief. I take things much more, I think it's a beautiful, I love the ritual, I love the community, and I do believe that there are powerful ideas in this, but I am not very much into the supernatural aspects of modern paganism.
John, thank you. Beauty, community, ritual. We also think of religions usually as setting up moral and ethical guidelines for living. Do neo-pagan religions typically do that?
Well, Wicca definitely has an ethic. It basically says, "And ye harm none, do what ye will." There's a non-manipulation, a non-harm aspect. And in recent years, modern paganism, which is becoming much more mainstream, is basically doing all the things that other religions are doing. They're starting to talk about charities and homeless shelters and AA groups and stuff like that. So they're getting onto the same kind of ethical and moral bandwagon that everybody else is in.
Donna in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Donna.
Hi. She used the word polytheism a great deal, and I've always heard pantheism as God in everything. Are they the same? Are there nuanced differences between those two terms?
Pantheism is the philosophy where you basically—
God is in everything. God is in all nature. They are not exactly the same. You can be a pantheist polytheist, which I sort of am. Just polytheism generally means a belief in many gods. There's henotheism, which is belief in many gods, but one being more big than the others. So they are different, but many people within the modern pagan revival are both pantheists and polytheists.
Andy in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andy.
Hi. I've been wondering about this for a long time because I've read about it and I'm attracted to paganism, but it seems like a lot of the new beliefs are new. The traditions haven't gone unbroken from, mother to daughter or whatever over all these years. And I have a hard time understanding how you could sort of make up a ritual or make up a new god and then believe in it. It just seems so arbitrary.
Wait. Make up a new ritual? You'd make up a new ritual if you had a need. For example, let's say you have a group of older women and they feel terrible about themselves, and you say, let's create a croning ritual that basically celebrates your becoming an older woman. And you suddenly create this incredible ritual and you put it on and people feel like they are suddenly newly empowered and feel wonderful. What's wrong with that?
So that's a ritual, but he's asking—
Nothing's wrong with it. Let's say you were going to cast a spell. What would—
I don't cast spells.
A lot of
people do, but I don't.
All right. What do you mean people do? Who does? In what context?
Well, you can buy 100 books and, about people who say, what is a spell? Basically, it's the same as a prayer in some sense, except sometimes you light a candle or you have a chant or something like that. But it's basically getting the mind to think deeper. That's all it is.
But I think the heart of his question was, it seems so arbitrary that a human being can just decide, okay, I'm going to make up a religion or an interpretation of God and just believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that no one's doing quite that. They're looking at old sources. They're looking at the old myth cycles. The people who have Welsh backgrounds are looking at the Mabinogian, the Irish. No one's making it up from whole cloth. They're saying we did lose a lot of these traditions. Let's look at what we have left and then try to figure out how it works in a society that believes in democracy and freedom.
Can one practice neo-paganism and another religion?
Yes.
There are Christian neo-pagans, for example?
Well, the Culdee faith in Ireland, for example, was a mixture of Irish Christianity and paganism. So that's actually been done throughout history.
You were once quoted in the Times saying of the various Negro pagan religions that you felt closest to the goddess spirituality movement, which reveres matriarchy.
That was a misquote.
That was a misquote.
I was closest to the goddess religions, but I didn't say that I revered matriarchy. I'm not sure there ever was an ancient matriarchy.
Right. So it would be an irrelevant follow-up question to ask, why revere one gender's nature over the other?
I don't. I think it's essentially a lot of people who got into the mother goddess as the only thing around was sort of doing Jehovah and drag. And I'm not into that. I'm into multiplicity.
We have a minute left. Let's sneak in Andrea in Manhattan. Hi, Andrea. Real quick.
Can you direct me to any community family-oriented groups? Or I used to do things in San Francisco, and now I have a baby.
Wicca things.
Are you in New York?
Uh-huh.
There is a group called New Moon New York. It's probably on the web. And my book, Drawing Down the Moon, I might as well make a plug for it, does have a 300 organizational resource guide, of which some are in New York, and you can look at the resource guide.
Let's do a few things real quick. Has the internet affected neo-paganism?
Absolutely. There are probably more than 5,000 websites now that deal with paganism and Wicca, and there are the numbers of people who call themselves pagans have probably quadrupled in the last 10 years, partly because of the internet.
And tell me again, how does this all relate to Halloween?
Halloween is one of the ancient pagan festivals. It was the Celtic New Year. It was the time where you contacted your ancestors, and everything that we look at in Halloween, the ghosts, the goblins, everything else, is basically, essentially, the remains of an older sacred ancestor tradition.
Do you know where the candy came from?
Oh, I have no idea, but candy's always good.
Margo Adler, NPR correspondent and the author of Drawing Down the Moon, Witches, Druids, Goddess Worshippers, and Other Pagans in America Today, originally published on Halloween 1979, the latest revised paperback edition just out from Penguin this very day. Thank you very much. Great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to the Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org, and thanks.